Psalm 34, 14 verses. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good deeds, many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Amen. Now today, on Remembrance Sunday, as part of our service, we remember those who have died in wars across the world. And as followers of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we pray for peace. The next few slides are simple reflections or prayers, and at the bottom of each slide are the words that we can say together, Lord, have mercy. And then we will sing together. And as we are seated, let's take up our Bibles and turn to Exodus and chapter 3. And we're going to take a few moments to reflect on the passage here. Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 15. You'll find the reading on page 59 in the church Bible. So page 59, and it's Exodus chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to verse 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? And what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Amen. Now, over the last few weeks, we have reflected on this particular theme, experiencing the presence of God. Reflecting on the idea that we can experience the presence of God wherever we are. Reflecting on the thought that when we're in church, we can experience the presence of God. When we share communion together, we can experience the presence of God. When we serve others with acts of generosity and compassion, we can experience the presence of God. When we are in a dark place in our own lives, we can, even there, experience the presence of God. When we read our Bibles, whether that's by ourselves on a regular basis or just occasionally, whether we read it all together, we can experience the presence of God when we take the opportunity to pray. And whether that is, as has been called, you know, arrow prayers, just firing off prayers to God wherever we are, or whether that's a regular time where we perhaps sit down to pray or walk and pray and so on. As we pray, we can experience the presence of God. And today we're going to reflect on the idea of experience the presence of God as we journey through life. And this, in a sense, is very general, but it's seeking to be a word of encouragement to us that we shouldn't think that we experience the presence of God perhaps just once in our life and we look back to that moment and think, well, that's when I experienced the presence of God and there was a sense of passion and fire and warmth within me then, and even now I'm living off that experience. But we are able to experience the presence of God and experience the presence of God and experience the presence of God time and time and time again through our life. And we're going to help us to make this reflection. We're going to be taking some pointers from the story about Moses. And these really are just kind of like coat hangers, idea hangers to help us as we reflect. We're going to talk for a moment about God's persistence, talk about experiencing God where we are, talk about response, talk about a place of love, and then talk about God's relationship with us and God's purpose for us. Now we begin right at the top, God's persistence. Moses, we are told in Exodus chapter 3, was looking after his father-in-law's sheep. We'll know the story that came before that in Exodus 1 and 2. Moses had been born child of Jews, child of what we would know now as Israelites. But he was born in slavery in Egypt. But because of the growing power, it seemed, of those Jews who were being born in Egypt, in slavery, the Pharaoh at the time, the king of Egypt at that time, was increasingly nervous and worried about the Jews. And so he determined, okay, every male who is born will be killed. Horrific. Every male that is born will be killed. And the instruction was sent out to the midwives who were helping the Jews, the Jewish women, when they gave birth. And we know the story about how Moses was saved from being killed, and Moses was laid in a basket in the bulrushes and then was found by somebody who took the baby to the queen. And he was looked after and then grew up as a prince in Egypt. Humble beginnings, and he becomes a prince. He had so much privilege in his life. And yet there was always something stirring within him. He knew, somehow Moses knew, that he was not an Egyptian. He was a Jew, and he recognized his own people. Every day as he saw the slaves at work, he knew, I'm one of them, and yet I have privilege. How do I use my privilege to help them? And one day he goes over to help a Jew, a Jewish slave who's been beaten by his Egyptian master. And in the fight that ensues, Moses kills the Egyptian master. But he thinks, nobody saw me. Nobody knows. Buries the body. Not long before he realizes he was seen. Out of fear and shame, he runs away. And that's where we get to Exodus chapter 3. He's now in a wilderness, in a desert place. He has none of the privilege that he had before. He has run away from his place. And his job is to look after his father-in-law's sheep. Now, ordinarily, we might look at this story and say of Moses, he blew it. I've heard that said of people who've had privilege, had position, who've had influence, who have had opportunity, and for whatever reason, they have turned it down, or they've spurned it, or they've made life choices that have meant that others have said, God, they really blew it. Look at them now. Maybe it's just a thing about our media and our press, isn't it, that we like to raise people up and we celebrate people. But what's better than raising people up and celebrating them? But seeing them fall, isn't it? You know, that's what you would think looking at our media. And yet here we have in this story, Moses is one such person who had everything, who had privilege, and apparently blew it and made mistakes. And yet what we see in this story is that on Moses' journey through his life, God is persistent, and God comes to meet him, as we see, where he is. Now, I share all of that because none of us are perfect. And if we are honest to ourselves, let alone honest to anybody else, you know, there are times in your life when you've said stuff you'd rather you hadn't said. And you've done things that, on reflection, you think it would have been better not to say those things. Some of them are just minor things and nothing, no great consequences. But you know as well as I do that for some of us, we've made decisions in our lives, and we've done things and said things in our lives that have had consequences way out of proportion, so it seems, to what we may have done. For some of us, the consequences are not really seen by others, but we live with a profound sense of shame because of what we've done. Nobody else sees that shame, but for us, we live with that sense of deep, deep sense of shame. It may be something we've done. It may be something that was done to us. But the encouragement in this story is that God is persistent. God will search us out. And God will find us where we are. Now, I am so encouraged by that, and I have been so encouraged by that in my life. That if we run towards God, he will meet us. If we run away from God, guess what? He will meet us. If we stay just where we are, guess what? He'll meet us. God meets us where we are. I imagine that for Moses, as he was looking after his father-in-law's sheep, Jethro's sheep, in the wilderness, my guess is that for Moses, he thought he'd put all of that behind him. My guess is the last place Moses thought he would encounter the living God was in a desert while he was looking after sheep. That's my guess. He did not expect to have this experience. He did not expect God to meet him where he was. Because he'd blown it. He'd messed up seriously. And yet the encouragement on our journey through life, whoever we are and whatever we've done, whatever the consequences have or haven't been, whatever emotional baggage we carry as a result in our lives, God is persistent and God will come and find us. He will find us just where we are. It's a curious scene. Moses sees the bush on fire. It doesn't burn up. Moses thinks, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, Moses called to him within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, what did he say? Here I am. Now here's the reality, is that on our journey through life, and now I just need to repeat something I hinted at a moment ago. What I don't want any of us to think is that if you had an experience of God when you were young, you know, I had my first, and I've told this before, I had my first real, what I would call a real experience of God when I was just 12 years old. And I've had many other kind of occasions where either I've been confronted with God or there's just been a touch of God upon my life and all through my life. What I don't want us to think is that God met me when I was 12 and that's it. I've met in my life some people who came to faith when they were younger. And that's it. And sometimes I scratch my head and think, have you journeyed since that day? Have you learned any more about God? Have you learned any more about yourself? Or are you still the same person spiritually as you were when you were 12 or whenever it was? We just need to be we do journey in faith. We do not stay the same. Moses, of course, he did not stay the same. But God persists with Moses as he persists with us. God comes and finds us where we are. And we just need to raise the question about what our response is. Those lovely words from Scripture. Here I am. And I reflect upon my own experience of God coming to find me. And God confronting me with himself. Sometimes God confronting me with myself. Sometimes with the things that I've done. Sometimes with the things I need to do. And it's as if God has called to me, Edward, Edward. Sometimes I've said, here I am. But sometimes na 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 na. Do you get kids doing that? No. Yeah. I've sought to block my ears and pretend it's never happened. You see, Moses, he's confronted with a bush that doesn't burn up. I mean, this is nuts. Who's heard or ever experienced a bush that doesn't burn up? It's odd. It's strange. And I'm sure Moses could just have moved on from here, and then he could go and tell Japheth and his family and say, do you know, you wouldn't believe what I just saw in the desert. There was a bush and it was on fire and it didn't burn up. And I went to look and it was just odd. And his family might have just gone, yeah, right, okay. You know, and Moses could have just moved on. But somehow, within this strange, out of place experience, he hears his name. Did he literally hear the words Moses, Moses coming out the bush into his ears? Or was it a profound sense within himself? Almost God echoing those words within him. Moses, Moses. Somehow Moses had the choice. And his response was to say, here I am. Now the beautiful thing about God is if we just go, you know, na 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 na, I can't hear, I'm ignoring this. What's just happened? You know, a bit weird, a bit strange, I'm moving on. If we do that, what does God do? He comes to find you again. It may be that we never go back to that place in the desert where that bush was on fire and it didn't burn up. And we never go back there because we think, I think really God was there and I'm not going back there because I don't want to deal with God. It may be within our own lives that it's almost as if there are doors that we shut within our own lives because we know we almost had an experience with God and we were just aware of the transformation it might bring about in our own life. We perhaps were aware of decisions that we needed to make. And we were, I'm not sure about that. It may be that we were aware that we had to offer forgiveness. Maybe that we had to love someone. We just, And we just rebel and we kind of partition part of our life and say, I'm not going back there. A bit dangerous. The thing is, God comes to find you where you are. And God will persist with you time and time and time and time and time again in your life. Until he finds you. And you hear your name being spoken. And you say, here I am. Of course, your response could be, not again. I've heard this voice so many times. Again, Lord? Yes, again. I've got an adventure for you. I've got something I want you to do. There is a person I want you to be. I want you to grow in character. And so that's why I'm calling your name again. If you don't respond now, that's okay, but I'll come and find you. And I will love you and love you and love you. I love the verse, is it Jeremiah 31, verse 3? You know what it says? I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn, and it's the phrase, I have drawn you to myself with cords of loving kindness. I love that phrase. I've drawn you to myself with cords of loving kindness. Because sometimes, even I'm aware, even as I say, you know, if we say no to God or we just ignore and just say it's all a bit weird and we don't want to go there and we partition off parts of our lives and so on, and God comes to find us again. Sometimes we might have the impression that it's as if God comes and he lassoes us with a rope and then he pulls us against our will into what he wants. But Jeremiah says, no, I have drawn you to myself with cords of loving kindness. It's as if God puts in front of us love. And we're drawn towards love. And then he puts more love in front of us and we're drawn and we just find ourselves walking a path we would never otherwise have taken. But we're just drawn closer and closer and closer to the purposes of God by his loving kindness. And yes, we would never have gone there if we'd been put under pressure, if we'd been forced, if we'd been told we had to do it. But God calls us and draws us to himself with loving kindness. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Take off your sandals. The place where you're standing is holy ground. I'll tell you what would happen today if Moses kind of had this experience today. If Moses had been in the desert doing whatever he was doing and he saw this bush on fire, not burning up, and he heard his name and he responds, here I am, and God says to him, take off your sandals, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. And Moses does that. And afterwards, Moses goes and tells his family and his friends, and maybe today the media would get hold of this extraordinary thing that has taken place, and they would say, where was that spot? And everyone, wouldn't we, would all crowd round. We'd want to stand on that piece of land. Because God said, it's holy ground. But of course, that's not what God is saying at all. All he's saying is, you're in the presence of God. This is holy ground where you stand. Now, if God was to meet you somewhere else, where would holy ground be? Be right here. Or anywhere, wherever it is, that is where God says, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Now, we use this word holy as a descriptor of God. We say God is holy. The prophet Isaiah has an extraordinary experience that we've reflected on before. It was in the same year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up and his train filled the temple and the angels cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And there was great light that radiated from the presence of God. And this word holy, the holiness of God, is communicating about the love of God. Holiness really is about, this is a special thing. This holiness denotes something that is completely beyond us, completely other than our everyday experience. And if we say something was a holy moment, really what we're saying, that was completely out of the ordinary. That was not normal. When Isaiah sees God, it's God is holy. He's completely other than us. He's communicating the love of God. The height and depth and breadth and length of the love of God is beyond anything we can comprehend. And when Moses says, take off your, when God says to Moses, take off your sandals, for the place on which you stand is holy. This is a place that is immersed in love. And that's where God meets us, at a place immersed in love. And if ever we hear our name, even in the strange circumstances we sometimes find ourselves in, we can respond with confidence and trust because it is a place of love. God meets you because he loves you. Not because he wants to get you into stuff you don't want to do, but because he loves you. It is a place of love. And then just briefly, God's relationship with us and God's purpose for us. Verse 6, then God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God introduces himself as a God of relationship. And this is true on our journey. God is never distant from us. He's never separated from us. As if to say, God is up there speaking to me down here. God says, this is who I am. I'm the one who relates with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the father of your people. And I've heard their cry. And I'm going to do something about it. God is the one who relates to us on our journey. And yes, it is true on our journeys. They're not straight lines. I don't know if you've seen the cartoon that I saw once where, you know, our hope in life is that we start from point A, you know, and there's a straight line to point B, you know, somewhere over here. Is that how your life goes? You know, and in fact, the cartoon kind of starts there and it kind of goes all over here and all over the place, you know, and eventually may get somewhere near point B. And that's the reality of our lives. And we need God to meet us where we are. We need God to come and be persistent in finding us and meeting us. We need that. And we need him to come back time and time and time again, because sometimes we just don't hear when our name is called. And we're ignorant. We're so busy doing other stuff sometimes. And we're off course anyway. And the plan of our life is not what we wanted it to be. But God comes and meets us wherever we are. And it's a place of love and kindness and mercy and goodness. And God is the one who relates with us and says, I am your father and I love you with an everlasting love. And I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose for you. God speaks to Moses from verse 7 onwards. I've heard the misery of my people, and so on. And then verse 10, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people to the Israelites, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. There's not many of us who are given a task that significant. If any of us are given a task that significant. But as God loves us, and God reassures us of his relationship with us, he gives us purpose. And he says to us, this is who I want you to be. This is what I want you to do. And it might be a simple task. It might be a greater task that will take your whole life to accomplish. But the encouragement today is the experience of God on our journey of faith. Our journey being dynamic, not static. There are many opportunities that we will have, many chances we will have, many times when God will speak to us, speak our name, and he will come to us to love us and to draw us further and forwards into all of his goodness for us. I'm going to pause there. And if you do want to talk to me more about this, then please do come and speak to me. There's opportunity. Graham and Louise are going to be up the front afterwards and will offer to pray with you. If you'd rather they came to you where you are sitting to pray with you, that'll be great as well. But let's just take this as a word of encouragement for ourselves today. Let's just pause and pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your persistence with us. And Father, thank you that you come to us in your mercy. Help us, Father, to live lives day by day with a simple awareness. I might meet God today. I might meet God in the unexpected place, in the unusual place. I might meet God in the ordinary and the everyday. Help us, Father, to live with that awareness that our eyes and ears might be open to you. Help us, Father, to respond to offer ourselves in willingness to you, that we might experience your love and bless others with that love. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.